Welcome to the deep dive. You know, we all live and breathe this idea of continuous improvement, don't we? Especially in our professional lives. We're always striving for more efficiency, for progress, for that feeling that we're actually moving forward. But, well, despite all those good intentions, how often do we find ourselves kind of spinning our wheels, investing time, energy into tasks that feel really important, but then they don't quite move the needle on our actual goals? It's frustrating and confusing sometimes. So today, we're going to try and dissect why that happens. We're focusing on what Gary Ackerman, in our really insightful piece on hackscience.education, calls red herrings, our mission in this deep dive, to really unpack what these deceptive distractions actually are, how they quietly derail even solid improvement efforts, and what concrete lessons we can pull from a specific, very vivid example he uses from education. The goal, really, is to help you identify and avoid them, whether you're leading a team, managing a project, or frankly, just trying to optimize your own work. So as we get into this, maybe think about those times you felt busy, but not really productive. This deep dive should offer a new lens on that, and crucially, how to navigate past it. Now, Ackerman doesn't really spend time defining continuous improvement from the ground up, and neither will we. We know what it is, right? It's about learning, adapting, refining. It's baked into everything. Agile, lean, feedback loops, strategic plans. It's everywhere. Leaders, teams. They're constantly looking for ways to make systems more efficient, more effective. The core idea, as Ackerman points out, is pretty straightforward. Actions that genuinely boost efficiency and effectiveness. Keep doing them. Build on them. Actions that drag things down while you abandon or change them. It's sort of the basic expectation we have for any organization trying to get better.
Yeah, and what's really compelling here, I think, is how this fundamental drive, this almost instinctual push towards getting better, can still get so easily sidetracked. It's usually not about a lack of commitment to improvement itself. It's more about misdirection within that commitment.
Misdirection.
Exactly. Right. We expect leaders to guide us towards efficiency, right? But even the most well-meaning initiatives can accidentally create these detours. Ackerman's piece really helps us zero in on how those detours happen, even when we think we're following good improvement frameworks. It's about spotting those subtle ways things get sabotaged, even when everyone's genuinely trying to do the right thing.
And that's precisely where Ackerman brings in this idea of the red herring. And it's not just, you know, a random distraction. He describes it as something more insidious. It's where a leader focuses on relevant aspects of the task. And that's key. It looks totally legitimate.
Right. It seems connected.
Exactly. But in doing that, they inadvertently channel precious resources, time, energy, even people's mental focus towards actions that will ultimately have zero effect on the desired outcomes.
Mm-hmm. It's just a colossal waste, not just resources, but, you know, trust, potential.
And that really nails the subtle danger, doesn't it? It's rarely born out of malice, like you said. More often, it's this misdirection of focus. The process, or maybe the tool, becomes the objective, not the result it was supposed to achieve.
Ah, right. Like focusing on the tool itself.
Yeah, think of it like building this absolutely beautiful, perfect scaffold instead of the actual building.
Okay.
The scaffold isn't necessary, sure. But if you spend all your time and resources perfecting the scaffold and the building itself never goes up, that effort was a red herring.
That makes sense.
And we see these constantly, don't we? Initiatives that generate loads of activity, tons of busy work, meetings, reports.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't actually shift the core problem. It's about telling the difference between just motion and actual progress. So to really bring this to life, Ackerman shares this incredibly compelling, almost cinematic example from education. Picture this. A meeting room. Maybe some lukewarm coffee, right? A new curriculum director, all set to launch a brand new curriculum mapping initiative. You can almost feel that sort of collective, hopeful anticipation. Teachers, always eager to help students do better, ready to dive in.
Mm-hmm. The standard setup.
Right. But here's where it takes a sharp turn. Instead of talking about, say, how to support struggling students or innovative teaching methods, the teachers found themselves spending a full, mind-numbing 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
30 minutes. Just discussing the templates they were supposed to use, just the template.
Yeah.
They were asking how these new forms were different from the ones they just finished under the previous coordinator. You could feel the frustration. They were wondering why they had to duplicate the same information on multiple documents.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to figure out where to slot in outcomes they'd spent ages defining just 2 years before. To them, these new maps just felt like reshuffling what they already had, but with new kind of ill-defined bits added. And Ackerman, watching this unfold, his immediate conclusion was sharp. The curriculum templates were a red herring. Plain and simple.
What's so insightful there is how fast the means just completely overshadowed the end. The template, which is just a tool for organizing information, right?
Yeah.
It became the entire focus of the conversation.
Yeah, the tool took over.
Totally. The discussion just spiraled into the mechanics of documentation. It completely bypassed any talk about the actual impact on student learning or teaching practice.
Yeah.
And this is where Ackerman's own experience really adds weight, I think.
Yeah.
He's not just some outside observer. He explicitly says he's written many curriculum documents over 30 years. He's led initiatives to redefine them. And importantly, he's used plenty of useless ones.
Right. He knows the territory.
He knows it inside out. So his perspective confirms it. Those templates. Just a procedural distraction, not a real path to improvement.
Which brings us right to that critical distinction. What was the real work needing to be done versus what became this overwhelming distraction? Ackerman points out that while the teachers were stuck arguing about templates, their deepest professional drive, their actual need, was to focus on the heart of teaching. He reminds us, teaching is about relationships between students and teachers. It's about the experiences teachers plan and students' participation in the planned experiences.
The core stuff.
Exactly. Curriculum documents, he says, yeah, they're a part of those plans, but they can often be red herrings. What he actually saw was the teachers' desperate need to think about their students. They weren't just vaguely worried. He specifically recalled them mentioning one of those classes, you know, the kind with a disproportionate number of students facing academic, social, and other challenges.
Right, the real tough classroom realities.
You could sense, he said, their absolute burning desire to brainstorm practical improvements for their classrooms, their schedules, their daily lessons, all aimed at helping those specific kids succeed. Their focus was laser sharp on the learners, a complete contrast to the paperwork parade they were being forced into.
And that just raises such a fundamental question, doesn't it, for all of us?
Yeah.
How often do we or our organizations get so tangled up in the administrative process, in the documentation, the how of tracking things, that we completely lose sight of the core mission?
It happens all the time.
It's a stark disconnect here. You've got teachers on the front lines facing real urgent problems in their classrooms, basically begging to talk about solutions that would directly affect their students.
Yeah.
Yet all their energy gets channeled into this discussion about formatting and template versions. It's like the classic example of confusing activity with actual meaningful progress.
Activity versus progress. That's good.
The teacher's urgent need for student-focused improvement was just being completely sidelined by what the curriculum coordinator was defining as work.
And, okay, so when Ackerman directly questioned the coordinator about this dynamic,
yeah.
What happened? The coordinator's response was apparently unwavering, almost authoritative. They said, once we document the curriculum, the ways we can help our needy students will become clear.
Wow. Okay. If we connect that to the bigger picture, that statement reflects such a deeply ingrained, yet often really flawed organizational belief. It's the misconception that comprehensive documentation, just by existing, somehow solves problems or magically creates clarity.
Right, as if filling out the form is the solution.
Exactly. It treats the documentation not as a tool, but as the end goal itself. And Ackerman's immediate internal reaction to that idea, he says it was a firm, unambiguous no. No, it will not.
Just a flat no.
A flat no. And he's absolutely right, isn't he? The act of documenting, sure, it might help create a framework. It has its place. But it does not inherently create a pathway for actually helping students. In fact, as we just saw in that example, it can actively delay things, distract from the real work, and even just deplete the energy needed for the direct, hands-on effort required to tackle those root problems.
Yeah, it drains the energy for the real work.
It really challenges us to ask critically, is this solution we're proposing genuinely addressing the core issue? Or is it just adding another layer of activity that feels productive, but ultimately offers no measurable impact?
So, okay, let's bring this home. What does this all mean for you listening right now? This education example, it's specific, yeah, but it's like a universal mirror, isn't it? How can you recognize when you're getting caught up in a red herring? That process, that task, that initiative that just eats up bandwidth but isn't directly contributing to your main objective. Maybe here's a quick mental check. We could call it the 3D test, maybe, to help spot them.
Okay, I like that. 3Ds.
First D, ask yourself, is this task or activity directly impacting the outcome I'm aiming for? Is there a clear straight line from this action to the goal? Or is it sort of tangential?
Direct link. Got it.
Second D, is its impact demonstrable or measurable? Can I actually see tangible evidence that this action is making a difference, or am I just assuming it is because it feels like work?
Demonstrable.
Okay.
Not just assumed value.
And the third D, is this definitely the most efficient, the most impactful way to get to that outcome? Or are there more direct routes we're overlooking, maybe because we prefer the comfort of a familiar procedure?
Directly, demonstrably, definitely. That's quite useful. Yeah, it's really about developing that critical eye, isn't it? That kind of healthy skepticism. To question the why behind tasks and initiatives all the time. Are they truly moving us towards greater efficiency, real effectiveness? Or are they just generating more work, more templates, more meetings about the templates, more reports on the templates?
Right, without genuinely shifting the outcome.
Exactly. You've got to constantly ask yourself, am I actually building the house here? Or am I just meticulously organizing the blueprints in a fancy new folder, convincing myself that perfect organization is the same as building?
That's a great analogy.
That internal tension you feel sometimes, that nagging sense of, I'm busy, but am I actually getting anything done? That's often your internal radar picking up a potential red herring. It's about channeling that discomfort into strategic questioning. What if, instead of just asking how to fill out the new template, you asked, how exactly does this document directly improve student learning?
Or in another context, how does this improve customer satisfaction? Or how does this speed up delivery?
Precisely. Or asking, what actual problem does this new process solve that our previous one didn't? Force the connection to the real outcome.
That's such a crucial distinction, asking how versus asking why and what for. And it also ties into empowering teams, doesn't it? To feel safe enough to push back constructively. Those teachers in Ackerman's story, they clearly knew what the real issues were. But the system, the structure of that meeting, didn't give them the space to address them.
That's a huge point.
So as a leader, maybe part of the job is cultivating an environment where people can say, hang on, this feels like we're spending an awful lot of time polishing the scaffold here, and maybe less time on the actual building. Can we pause and reevaluate?
Exactly. And sometimes these red herrings persist because, well, challenging them feels like you're challenging authority. Or maybe the process itself provides a comforting sense of control or tangible activity, even if it's completely misdirected.
Yeah, ticking boxes feels productive.
It can be much easier, frankly, to implement a new documentation system than it is to grapple with really complex student issues or market changes or whatever the core challenge is. So as you spot these potential red herrings, it's also worth considering the underlying reasons they exist. Is it maybe a fear of tackling the harder problem? Is it pressure to just show activity rather than results? Or is it a genuine but simply misguided belief that more process automatically equals more progress?
Understanding that root cause,
yeah,
that could help dismantle the red herring more effectively.
Definitely.
So the key lesson from Gary Ackerman's piece, really, it boils down to the transformative power of just recognizing these red herrings in the first place. It's how we start to reclaim our most valuable resources, our time, our energy, our team's creativity, and actually point them towards what truly matters for continuous improvement, instead of just letting them drain away on things that are well-intentioned, maybe, but ultimately fruitless.
Well said. And maybe this leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to chew on after this deep dive wraps up. How many of our current efficiency measures or improvement initiatives across all kinds of fields are actually just well-intentioned red herrings? How many are inadvertently diverting our most valuable resources, that precious time, energy, focus, away from the true impactful goals we're really trying to achieve? It's a question worth asking.
Luis.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Of yourself and maybe of your team, too.
A very important question indeed. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into navigating the often tricky world of red herrings. We really hope these insights not only help you spot them in your own work, but also empower you to steer your efforts and maybe your team's efforts towards genuine, meaningful progress.